You guys still hungry here? Wow. This is just amazing. How many days? This is 3 weeks, isn't it? Going into our fourth week here with outpouring meetings. So glad you came tonight because it's not being live streamed. You made the right decision in coming. Something happened with the internet service here in the building today, and it's not going out live. So you made the right choice to come and be a part. You know, tonight, before this evening is over, we're going to lay hands on every single person in this room, no matter how long it takes, and you are going to get what you came for. You're going to get more than what you came for. Are you hungry tonight? I want you to stay hungry. I think the key, Pastor Glenn, to the continued blessing and outpouring of the Holy Spirit here is to stay hungry. Because something more is coming. You know, my grandmother, God bless her, she'd be 112, I think, if she was alive. I believe she was born in 1900. Her name was Opal. She had a restaurant, a cafe. And she was the most excellent cook you could imagine. And I'll never forget Thanksgiving meals with her. I'm telling you, we had pies and cakes and every kind of little tiny kitchen and a great big table full of food. And she had a saying, Opal had a saying. When the meal was all over, she said, save your fork. Keep your fork. Well, I knew when my grandma said, keep your fork, dessert was coming. Something really good was on the way. She had lemon meringue pies. She had banana cream pies. She had chocolate pies. She had apple pies, cherry pies, chocolate cakes, stuff that you wouldn't even want to eat today after you've already enjoyed three squares. I want to say to you here, keep your fork. Something's coming. This is not even a tithe of what God is about to pour out. The Lord is going to break into this house with signs and wonders and miracles and outbreaks of power. With or without you, with or without me, God Almighty is going to come through weak vessels and He's going to show His glory. Before I get too excited, I want Philip to come up here. Philip was just with me, my wife and I, Candace and I, in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. Oh, Canada. And we had just a tremendous time, bro. Tell them what happened, what you saw, and what God did in your life.
Well, first off, I'm really glad to be back here. Let me tell you, there is like no place like harvest time. I'm serious, like... The church, the revival was amazing, but like, I missed this revival too. So I had to come back. But, you know, Pastor Brian asked me to come here and speak about something that happened to me this weekend. And, you know, as I was gathering my thoughts on the airplane today, I was like, all right, Lord, what did you do in my life this weekend? I started getting little bits and pieces of different things. And, you know, just honestly get right to it, you know, I really believe with all my heart that right now God is searching the earth for a generation who knows they are born for such a time as this. He is raising up sons and daughters and co-laborers to advance the kingdom of God in a practical way in this time. I believe that with all my heart. And as I was in Canada, you know, I just had the honor of seeing people passionate about Jesus, passionate about revival, and passionate about their nation like we are here. And as I was watching people and as I was interacting with different people in this revival, I just saw the passion that they carried for Jesus. And as I saw that passion, the Lord started stirring something up in me. And He says, Philip, when I give you my passion, it will lead you to your destiny, into the victory realm. And so I believe tonight that God is going to release more passion because I don't know about you, but there's people going to get healed tonight. And so as people get healed tonight, let me tell you, your passion is going to go way up. And I had the honor of hearing this woman. Her name is Fatine. Some of you may know her. She's a leader in Canada. And I heard her speak on Friday night. And today she actually took us to the House of Parliament in Canada. Ottawa, Canada. Sorry. Confused. We went like three flights today. I don't know where I was. But no, as I was talking to her, at the age of around early 20s, her passion grew for the nation of Canada. And she started a prayer movement in her young 20s. And now Canada is shaken up because of this woman. And then she had a heart for this nation. And she didn't let anything get in her way. And right now, because of the seeds that she's sown in Canada, Canada's going through a mighty revival right now that's rippling through the whole nation right now. And I realized that when I was talking to her, I realized that she is willing to go to the ends of the earth for her nation. She is willing to go to the ends of the earth for souls. And I started realizing, man, we need to have that mentality and this mindset. You know, we need to have that mindset in this great awakening. That we have to have that passion to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to have that mentality saying, man, I want to go to all the world. I want revival to break out even more. I want this nation to turn back to God. And so, man, let me tell you, you know, as we were talking, she said, the only way to make the fire brighter and stronger is to get out of the four walls, bring the people in the church. It's, I was talking to Pastor Brian yesterday morning. It's like a fire. And when you bring people in the church, it's like they're wood. And you put them in the, and when you put wood in the fire, what happens to the fire? It lights up more, it gets more brighter, and it gets stronger, and it consumes. So that's what I'm feeling in my heart. That, the lost are gonna come in here because they're gonna hear the testimonies, and they're also gonna see people going out of the four walls of the church. And as I was in Canada, man, let me tell you, Pastor Glenn, my passion, my hunger increased so much more. I want so much more, so much more. And as I was, I got a chance to meet a lot of youth there, and I got a chance to minister to some youth in the nation. And as I was with them, my hunger grew so much more because they were so hungry. They were so driven for their nation. And let me tell you, when I saw that, I never felt so sure before that God is raising up an army right now. He's raising up an army that's going to be supernaturally equipped and supernaturally fueled to advance the kingdom of God in a supernatural way. And I don't know about you, but I'm enlisting in this army. Who else is enlisting in this army? Come on. Before I give it back to Pastor Brian, you know, as I was sitting during worship, the Lord just gave me a word, and it's for someone here. I don't know who it is, but, you know, revival is not about a feeling or emotions. It's about an encounter that you have with the Lord that will radically change your life. It doesn't have to be goosebumps. It doesn't have to be your hair rising on your arms, but it's about an experience you have with the Lord. So Pastor Brian, take it away.
Amen. Thank you, Philip. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, bro. While we're at it, I just feel like I want to do this every time I get the privilege and honor of sharing here with you. I want to honor Pastor Glenn and Denise and all the pastoral team here. You don't know the sacrifice they're making. You don't know the sacrifice they're making to host the Ghost, to bring the Holy Spirit into Greenwich. It's an answer to prayer. 50 years of prayer have released this outpouring, says the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Glenn. Wowzies. Phew. It's swirling up here, I'm telling you. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And as you're turning, I just want to mention the last time we were here, we didn't have very many of the Passion Translation Poetry on Fire, the Book of Psalms, but we brought quite a few with us tonight. If you have an interest in reading the Book of Psalms in a translation that will rock your world, this has just been released. We're involved in a translation project. I am just about to finish chapter 22 of Luke. I'll go into 23 and 24 soon, and I can't wait to get it out around Christmas time. But I've got about 63 more books to translate. So I hope that if you ever think of me and my family, that you would pray for me, that I would continue to have the grace of God and the revelation of the Spirit to bring forth this dream and this passion of ours to bring the Word of God into a contemporary, non-religious, uncorked, unfiltered, accurate, authentic translation of the Word of God. I believe it's the revival Bible. Jesus visited me, came into my room one night, breathed on me, and said, I'm releasing you to do this, after I'd asked him for a confirmation, if this was indeed a commission on my life. And I've done this now for about 2 years, and I just know that it's for a generation to come. Your kids, Pastor Glenn, and the generation that's right here in front of us, that there's a revival Bible that's going to just absolutely rock the church for a generation to come. Amen. Well, that's my commercial. Now, I want you to just put your hand over your heart right now until you feel it beat. Father, I ask that you would put a voice within my voice that would pierce and touch and penetrate every heart in this room tonight. Lord, that this room would simply disappear and we'd find ourselves in the awesome, glorious presence of the burning God. Lord, we'd not have a fig leaf to hide behind. We'd not have an excuse, Lord, to just paste over our life and say, yeah, but. But Lord, we would come vulnerable, weak, broken, frail, Lord, tender before you, and we could hear the word of the Lord, and we could respond to what we hear and walk right into full-blown awakening for Greenwich, Connecticut, and this entire region in New York, Connecticut, and up the Hudson Valley. Just break loose something powerful, Lord, tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, I'm going to read three verses. It says this, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore all things as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. I want to give to you four truths tonight that I believe are crucial to bring this outpouring into the next phase as we pass the 21-day mark and move into even greater awakening. God isn't after simply good meeting. We've had good meetings right here already. We've had tremendous meetings in Canada. You've been in really good meetings, and you've been in not so good meetings, and you know the difference. I tell people, I have more boring sermons per capita than any pastor I know. So I understand when it's good and the Holy Ghost is in the room and the Holy Spirit is touching us, and when it's, you know, the thoughts of man, as clever as they may be. But the scriptures, I believe, lay out a blueprint, lay out for us a path to come into the greatest awakening that New England and New York has ever seen before. Let me back up and preface this by saying that you can have revival if you want it. And the word, the key word is if. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek me, then I will hear from heaven and I will bring healing. Beloved, that's revival. That's restoration. The times of refreshing. I will heal the land. Everyone in this room has a need tonight to be healed. Of course we have headaches. Of course we have, you know, I don't know. You may have a hangnail tonight. You may have a runny nose or you know, something maybe not quite working right, a little pain here or there. But more than just our, you know, our physical being being healed. We need the inner being. We need our spirit being. We need our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our decisions, how we spend our life, time and money, how we give our passions and what we spend them on. We need healing in our heart. And I believe tonight, if we'll hear this, that the Lord is going to do something dramatic in this outbreak. And it's going to begin with you and with me. There are four words we're going to focus on. The first is repentance. Now, the Bible teaches repentance through and through. I had a 20-something tell me on Facebook the other day and said, you know, dude, you put up something about repentance. Like, don't you know, bro, that repentance is Old Testament and that Paul never taught repentance? And I got on there real quick and I said, oh man, you are so right, bro. Paul never taught repentance. If you cut out 9 verses of the New Testament, he never taught repentance. Cricket. He never said anything back. You know, the New Testament begins with the ministry of a man called John the Baptist. Last time I was here last Sunday night, we talked about eating locusts. You remember? The 4 locust categories there in Joel 1, but God has an army of awakeners that will devour the devourer, that will come against that locust horde. And John the Baptist is a forerunner. He was eating locusts, wasn't he? Washing it down with honey and the camel skin and all that stuff. John the Baptist came on the scene, and what was his message? Could you put it maybe in one word? Ladies and gentlemen, what would that one word be? It sure wasn't party time. Can you imagine walking for a day out into the most, you know, forsaken desert and wilderness, at least a day or more, to get out to hear a weirdo preaching one-word sermons? Repent? Why, you brood of snakes, who told you to come out here? That's what he said. Sure makes our churches look a little more cozy and friendly, you know, when you compared to the Bible guys. And what was the message? It was repent. And then Jesus, he came, our beloved one, the beautiful Savior, the lover of my soul, the one I've given my life to for 40 years. He came on the scene, and what was his message? Oh, it was so manifold, you can't just put it in one word, but he began his ministry with the word repent. Now, the Old Testament form of repentance is different. The Old Testament form of repentance is that, you know, you repent from sin. But the New Testament is a little higher standard. You repent and you turn to God and he'll send times of refreshing. So the repentance of the New Testament has a purpose to it. We don't repent because we want to have a melancholy moment. We don't repent because we're in a bad mood and we just want to feel worse. We repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. There's something better. Let go of what you're holding in your hand. Change your mind. Do it now, because the kingdom of God is right here in front of you. So the repentance is for something, not just turning from something. It's embracing a kingdom. And that Greek word, the kingdom of God is at hand, means this: it's close enough to reach. It's available to you. Now, if a man from heaven came and said, if you would just change your mind, let go of your sin, let me wipe out everyone, let me obliterate your sins, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, you can hold it in your hands. Wouldn't that make you want to turn away from all the filth of our lives? I think of the Song of Songs, my favorite book in the Bible, chapter 2, where the bridegroom says, let's go after the foxes, let's go after the compromises in your life. The one thing that will short circuit this awakening and this outpouring more than anything else, maybe before 4 weeks is over, is to continue to let the sin and the compromise in the camp to keep us from the fullness of the outpouring of God. You know, his first name is Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of holiness. Somebody asked a prophet friend of mine, prayed and asked the Lord, said, Lord, why is it all the angels, all they say is holy? You know what the Lord told him? So let's see what you say when you see my glory. Holy! New Testament form of repentance is that we don't just turn from sin, we turn from dead works, we turn from religion, we turn from tradition, we turn from every distraction until the one thing consumes us. It's more than just the naughty nine and the terrible ten, the list of stuff that we know not supposed to do, no-nos. It's more than that. It's the enrichment of our spirit. It's going after the supreme obsession of our heart. Paul, Peter, the disciples, the apostles of the Lamb, they released the message among the nations, repent, and the times of refreshing will come to you. Let's take that second one, refreshing. You know, our repentance triggers refreshing. Repentance triggers. It's the tripwire for revival. The threshold of awakening is the changing of our heart, the turning of our hearts. It's letting the plowshare of truth come into the hardened soil, the packed down fallow ground of our heart. And the plow turns over and breaks up that fallow ground. And we don't just let things go. Holy Spirit told me one time, there's nothing little to me. If I speak to you about it, Brian, it's not little. It's important. There's nothing little or insignificant when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And to understand that by turning our hearts and walking away from dead religion, the hopelessness of our culture, getting our mindset fixed on the things of heaven, like the Bible says, you're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now let your thoughts catch up with where I put you. Think the thoughts of God. You have the mind of Christ. We can be transformed by this renewing of our mind. And as we allow this repentance to take root in our heart, I have to tell you, Pastor Glenn, prior to these weeks of awakening, I had been on my bed for night after night. I can't remember how many months the Lord has been showing me stuff about my life. Phone calls I've had to make, making things right with people, dealing with issues. And I'm not claiming anything because it was God's fireball that knocked you under the keyboard here. But it sure made my heart tender and ready for something. Don't be surprised that after tonight, Holy Spirit starts to mess with you. Don't be surprised that Holy Spirit comes in dreams and reminds you and stirs you and stirs up deep, deep waters inside of us. Haven't you said that when he turns to the left, you will go to the left? He's going to the left. Are you really going to go? Are you going to say, but I like the right better? Can we catch the mood of the Holy Spirit in these outpourings and not cookie cutter every meeting? Can we let the Holy Spirit really be who he wants to be? Can we really let the worship take us where he really wants us to go? Into the desperation, the cravings, the ineffable longings that can't be quenched unless Jesus satisfies us. Can we let the Holy Spirit bring light into the darkened corners, the pockets of compromise where we've hidden things inside of us? Are you ready to forsake your favorite sins? To repent and turn to God triggers an outpouring of refreshing. There has never been a repentless revival, ever. Historical classic revival from the book of Acts until 2012. Every single outpouring involves a great measure of seeing the wickedness of sin, turning from it, repenting from it, and finding these outpouring moments of refreshing. The word times of refreshing is actually the seasons of refreshing. And I believe there's a season where the Lord has refreshed us for 3 weeks. And now he's asking, will we go deeper? Will we go another level? Will we say, God, I don't care if I'm the only one. I'm going to find my face on the floor before you until you make me revival on two legs. Stir my heart, God. There's people in this room that are praying and believing God that it spills out of this beautiful church, Harvest Time, and it spills out even beyond Greenwich. Can you believe it? And it goes all the way into White Plains, my God, into Rye Brook, into Stamford. I understand, a rumor has it, there's some wicked people up in Bridgeport. They could use some of this. My God, think of Danbury. What would happen? That bedroom community suddenly gets zapped. Revival glory meetings break out all over this region, up the Hudson Valley, Poughkeepsie, Albany, Utica, Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, and the Niagara Falls finds a new course to just fall right through the Hudson Valley and come right into the Big Apple and hit the boroughs of New York. What if we quench the Holy Spirit? What if we were those that would say, well, we want to kind of standardize, and we want to kind of make it look this way. And the Holy Spirit's saying, but don't you understand? I sent you the gentle rain so that when I send the thunderbolts of power, you would say yes to me. More is coming. More power is coming. You know, James Levesque is coming here. I've watched this man's life for the last 10 years. He was a street kid, homeless, had nothing going for him, kid at 15, come off drugs. I'm telling you, the first 3 years I was around him, I don't think I hardly saw him change his clothes. He had one set of clothes. It was a Knicks jersey and these weird basketball trunks. Yo. But I'll tell you what, not too long ago, he was up in Nova Scotia. And he was telling a group of a couple hundred people. He said, you know what God wants to do here? He wants to send greater power. And the moment he said it, lightning struck the building. Lights went out. Everybody got the message. You didn't have to take notes. You go, whoa, maybe God just spoke. You figure. And I want you to know that those are like the beginnings. That's the lint on the fringe of the hem of his garment. That's just the lint on the fringe of the hem of what's coming. What will you do at the day of the thunder of his power? He's about to come with a 50-mile radius of glory that's going to fall over this region, and people are going to start getting saved and repenting in their homes, driving their cars in the offices of PepsiCo. Some of the financial houses in Stamford, all the way down into the city, there's going to be spontaneous combustion. And the Lord is so good to kiss us into it. This is nothing compared to what's coming. And the deeper we go, the higher it will reach. The broader it will be imparted. The further and longer it will last. The deeper we go. The Lord wants to send times of refreshing. And that tripwire, that trigger, that point, that, you know, the Rubicon that just releases the next phase is repentance. So don't be too surprised. Maybe this week, when the thunder of God is heard in this house, and the hardest heart bends and bows before the weight of Almighty God coming into this room, coming not to take part, but to take charge. Times of refreshing are coming. The kairos, the Greek word is the word kairos. And they come from the Lord, don't they? Times of refreshing come from the Lord, but we trigger it. We trigger it, but the times of refreshing come from the Lord. There's such a duet, a partnership, a divine dance with us and God, with revival. And you err when you put all of it on one or the other. God is looking for a place, a habitation. He's looking for a place where he can build for himself a home, a dwelling place. He's looking for hearts that will be tender before him, that will say yes to God. have forsaken their favorite sins, no longer want to flirt and see how close they can get to the edge of falling into folly and foolishness. But instead, holiness has gripped them. Their hearts burn with a passion that cannot be contained, described, or fitting just an hour or two service. Beloved, there is an intensity coming from heaven this coming week. I feel it, and I burned with this message to bring to you. Repent. He'll wipe out your sins. He'll give you the kingdom, and He will pour out the refreshing, the outpouring, greater rain, greater downpours, greater, you know, thunderbolts are coming. Kisses and thunderbolts are coming. And the third is that then He will send the Christ to you. The revealing of the Christ. You see, if the Holy Spirit doesn't refresh us, renew us, put light into our eyes, restore our broken hearts, Christ could come in the room and we wouldn't even give Him a seat. But when our eyes are open and we've been broken, we've fallen on the rock and become broken so that the rock doesn't fall on us and grind us to pieces. And falling upon the rock and the sweet brokenness before Him, and then the refreshing and the renewing, the life-giving, you know, Ezekiel's river that just pours into us, dead, dry bones coming to life again. And it's all so that now we're ready for the revelation of Christ, that He may send the Christ. You see, the Lord is ready to send greater measures of Christ into this room. He wants greater measures and greater revelations and greater outpourings and greater impartation of Jesus, because the DNA of God, it's all about His DNA coming into you and I. Two are going to become one, and don't let the dead doctrines of men divide asunder what God joins together. It's all about the seed of God. It's all about the union of God and man. The twofer, you know, Jesus is the twofer. He's the 200% man. And God loves that model so much, He's going to fill the earth with people just like Him. Earth and heaven is going to be filled with replicas of the Son of God. God is going to duplicate and replicate and put inside of us the same measure, the same fullness, the same glory, the same authority, the same power, and the same love as Jesus Christ. And it says, when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And I want you to know that ain't the rapture. When we see Him working in our lives, we become like Him. When we see Him in the hurt of other people, bringing His healing grace. When we see Him restore, we see Him heal, we see Him bless and kiss and adore His bride. When we see Him, we become like Him. Because we see Him as He really is, not the make-believe version, not the flannel graph cardboard version that you put up on the wall and say, this is the Jesus. But the living, breathing Son of God, God incarnate, the one with a golden sash over His heart, His feet are on fire, His eyes are like flames of fire burning with passion for His bride. Oh, the glorious one with the white horse of majesty. He's going to ride with the sword on His side. He's going to come and He's going to conquer every enemy. And behind Him are going to be men and women that are triumphant captives, held captive by His love. And in that triumphant procession, we come to the nations and we reveal more of this Christ. Repent so that I can refresh you. And when I do, I'm going to make your heart so tender, and I'm going to water the soil of your heart, that when my seed comes into you, the seed of Christ comes into you, and I plant the Word of God into you, it bears the fruit of Christ-likeness. Oh, that He may send the Christ. The fourth word is restoration. He's going to restore all things. This awakening begins with repentance, releases the outpouring of refreshing. It will reveal Christ to the nations, and it will begin the process of the restoration of all things. How about your family? Wouldn't that be good? How about a good marriage? What about kids and parents? What about the restoration of our communities? Streets with dwellings, people that love once again, open doors that have, you know, that represent open hearts. Waves of hospitality and love and compassion sweeping over our hearts. Where the love feast, the agape feast, that it begins again. And they know we are Christians by our love, by our love. The restoration of everything back to its pristine glory. I'm going to date myself. I do a good job of that. But there was a song. You guys, none of you guys are old enough to know any of this, but so, you know, allow me to reminisce. But I had a dream a while back. And in this dream, I'm going to tell you exactly what it was. I was like in a room, but in the next room, I heard the band playing a song. Should I tell you what the name of... The name of the song was In the God of the Vida, baby. In the God of the Vida, baby. And in the dream. I told you were too young to know any of this. If you are laughing and you know that song, you better buy some Grecian formula and get some good dental work going, baby. Get them knees replaced and get going. So in the dream, I get up and I go into the room, so curious. And as I step into the room to look at the band, suddenly the song changes and they sing, In the Garden of Eden, baby. And it's the voice of the Lord. And he spoke to me in the dream. He says, I am going to restore everything just like it was in the Garden of Eden, baby. The pristine glory. You know, Adam and Eve, they were covered with light. I honestly think that they could fly. I really do. They had a garden that was as big as Iran, Iraq, Syria, part of Turkey, all of Israel and Egypt, some of Egypt. They had all of the Middle East as the garden. And they were to tend all of it. And you know what Adam had to do? He had to name all the animals, all of them. Can I ask you something? How many breeds of cat could you tell me? After four or five, you would start stuttering. Adam was so bright, so intelligent, brilliant in his understanding because there was no sin that was a shadow over his mind or conscience. And God really made Adam and Eve as photographs of the Creator. They were absolute photographs, digital images of God Himself. God is going to restore all things. And then Jesus is coming back. There is a plan that is bigger than us. There's a purpose greater than our meeting here and our extending in another week and getting the staff even more tired. There is a restoration. What about prodigals coming back? What about restoring prodigals? If for no other reason than Luke 15 and the prodigal son, please get the book of Luke when I print it and publish it by the end of this year. I've read that to a few people, how I translated it, and you can't read it without being devastated. Male or female, it's going to hit you. What about families being restored, relationships being restored, friends being reunited, and the clumsy weirdness that had come in an awkward season into our relationships, that all just vanishes, and suddenly we meet each other in the spirit. We don't compare or compete. We don't look at each other according to the eyes of the flesh, and we evaluate and analyze. God never tells us to analyze one another. He says accept one another. You're not the junior Holy Spirit. You can't change everybody, bro. You know, like Holy Spirit the second. All knowing, all wise, you should all be the way I tell you to be. No, I don't think so. Just accept the beautiful creation God made. You know, you're the poetry of God. The word in Ephesians 2:10, where it says we are his workmanship or craftsmanship, you know, depending on how your translation is, that word is actually poema, and it means the poetry of God. Every person in this room is a divine poem. Just read it right. And you're not a tragedy, you're a comedy. I'm convinced that in Father God's heart, reformation is on the way. I believe there's a divine reformation of our culture, of our society, of our, you know, if you want to call them the trendy term of the seven mountains, or however we want to describe, you know, the culture and society itself. God is going to restore. He's breaking into Hollywood. He's breaking into the finance system. He's breaking into education. He's breaking into government. He's breaking into the military. He's breaking in to all of the different components of our culture and what the fabric of our society. And it's not necessarily because of, you know, placards and protests. It's because of Christ coming forth, leaking out of his people. The restoration of all things, baby. It's coming. Then he will send the Christ from heaven. How about gifts of the Holy Spirit being restored? The feast of glory is here. This awakening could be called the feast of glory. God has released his glory back into the church. He's giving signs and wonders. Dreams are multiplying. Many of you, even in the last few days, have had unusual, peculiar dreams. Get used to it. Thou shalt have a lot more of them. Some of you suddenly in the worship, which was so anointed tonight, I love that. And in some worship settings here at the church or whatever church you're in, your eyes are going to open into another realm. And you actually come right across that thin place between two worlds. And you get a glimpse into that other world. I was praying last night over somebody in Canada, just like I'm going to pray over you here in just a moment. And I saw the word AWE written over the person. I said, you know, not only are you awesome, God's about to hit you with his awe. All of God is coming over you. Bam, she went right on the ground. Never touched her. I see things over people when I pray sometimes. And I believe more and more. I won't name the name of the person, but there was a man that I know of that actually spends 40% of his day in the heavenly realm. He's in another realm. And that has become more real than this. You say, oh, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. I'll take what he's drinking. Give me one of those. It's like, this life's that great? I mean, it's really that wonderful? I know Jimmy Stewart knows it is. It is a wonderful life, but what makes it wonderful isn't Clarence. It's Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit, where he takes over more of our heart. The supernatural is going to fill this place. Unmistakable. Remarkable. You know what the Bible calls extraordinary miracles. Dude, I'd just settle for an ordinary miracle. What in the world are extraordinary miracles? But that's what they had in the book of Acts. Extraordinary miracles. I want that. You know, the Bible does say, John 14:12, there's coming a generation that's going to do greater works. The greater works generation. I would settle just for the works of Jesus most days. But he himself, our king, our lover, he says there's going to come a generation that will touch a realm where even greater works, sons of the kingdom are coming. The holy remnant is coming. The seed of God is being planted in the soil. That the divine sower is going and sowing seed into New England and into New York, into the Northeast and into the Maritimes of Canada. He's planting seeds in this awakening. And it's so that Christ himself will spring up, that he would send the Christ. I'm going to give you the draft version of this passage in the Passion Translation. It is only a draft. It will definitely change. But here is what the actual text, a passionate form, unfiltered, with some of the nuances of the text explicit. This is what Acts 3:19-21 says. Repent at once. Or repent right now. There's an imperative. It's like, do it now. Let go of what you got. Let go of this mortal life. Doesn't Jesus say, if we lose our life, that's when we keep it? But if we keep it intact and we want to, you know, cherish, like, my precious. Oh, my precious. You're going to lose it. Ask Golem. He'll tell you. But if you lose it, you keep it to life eternal. And the blessings come one after another. Well, repent at once. Instantly change your attitude and perform an about face so that your sins may be obliterated. You got any that need to be obliterated? In order that there may come epoch-making periods of spiritual revival and refreshing. From the presence of the Lord. And that he will send Christ Jesus on a mission to you. For he has been appointed in the interest of your souls. But it's necessary for heaven to receive him until times when all things will be restored to their pristine glory. Things regarding that which God has spoken through the mouth of his holy prophets who lived long ago. Repentance is sweet when refreshing comes to us. If I told you the greatest outpouring and time of refreshing will come to you when you upchuck those things that you're holding on to and you get rid of relationships, don't get rid of relationships, but you get rid of that which God has not ordained for your life. That which God is not the best, you know. What makes the will of God sweet is that you could never choose any better. And the sweetness of the will of God, the pleasure of God, that the ecstasy of just being his. You know, he made us a human being, not a human doing. And just to be for the pleasure, to be for the praise of his glory. And those Kairos seasons, the epoch-making seasons of refreshing and revival that stream from the Lord. Then he will send the Christ on a mission to revive and restore you. Would you like everything that's been taken from you restored? Yes. Would you like your health restored? Yes. Coming here, we heard, I mean, just literally on the plane, I guess. Where were we, honey? Ottawa, or were we here? Coming wherever it was, my wife got an urgent message about her mom, my mother-in-law, my wonderful mother-in-law, you know, really, really in serious health problem in the hospital. A surgery that went wrong. And water swelling her heart and her whole body's just going haywire. And we threw it out on Facebook to our friends, or my wife did anyway, And I'm telling you, boom, 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 just all these comments. I'm praying for your mom. We're going to pray for your mom. Guess what? Hour later, she's on the phone with, Candace is on the phone with her mom. She had a turnaround. Somebody prayed. Somebody got a hold of God. Wouldn't you like health restored or the health of a loved one restored? You know, when we pray for other people's healings, like we would pray for our mother, or we would pray for our daughter, or we'd pray for our son. When we pray that way, and we lay hold of God's compassion, we pull that cord, the mercy cord, and say, God, this is what we're asking. Nobody deserves anything. You're the merciful God. Let mercy triumph over sickness. Restoration of our families. There are families in this room that God wants to heal, men, the kiss of heaven to come back into the relationship. Instead of sparks flying, he wants kisses to fly. And that sweet, tender relationship of marriage and children with parents. There could be kids in this room that need to make things right with your parents. Or parents that need to say those incredible, life-giving words, I'm sorry, to your kids. The refreshing is going to go to another level this week. And it's going to be sweet and scary. It's going to be like just kisses and thunderbolts. And you get to pick which one. It's just going to, this coming week is going to be, I'm prophesying to you, this is going to be an amazing week for this church. And for you personally, Pastor Glenn. Wonderful seasons of refreshing are coming. I believe it. Christ is going to be revealed and the restoration is going to kick into high gear. Thus endeth the reading. Shall we stand and sing the doxology? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You can stand if you'd like. But let's pray a little bit first. Can we do that? Can we have that really anointed worship dude come back? Is it Dan? Come on, broski. You did a song. I'd really like for you to do that if I can manipulate. You can tell I was a senior pastor. Worship leaders hate it when they're told they got to sing something. If God, you know, because they already have their, God already spoke to them and everything. But there's something about the, it's not, I think that's it right there. That's the one. Yeah, baby. We wait for you. Our one thirst and hunger. Let's just worship just for a bit. Let's sing this song together, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do. Okay? Put a little mystery in the room. Let's sing it. Is there anybody hungry? Yes. I mean, really hungry. Guys, you got to be hungry. You got to be desperate. How hungry are you? How desperate are you? Don't say you got it all when we don't. We really don't. I have pursued hotly after God 40 years without an intermission that I know of. I have really pursued this, and I'm hungrier. I'm more needy. I'm dumber. I need more light and wisdom. I need more grace and mercy than ever before. So let's get hungry. Come on, let's get thirsty. The swirl of God's about to hit this room. Every single person is going to get a prayer tonight, going to receive an impartation, but there's a condition attached, and I'll tell you right after we sing.
Teach us, Lord, reveal your ways.
on, stay hungry. Stay hungry. Come and fill this place. Come and send the Christ. Just go right into an encounter right now. Step right in. Come on. Get into the trysting place. Get into that chamber, the cloud-filled chamber of His glory. Step right in. Come on. You were made for this. Divine encounter. Divine embrace. Come on. He's smothering you with kisses. This is His pleasure. Yeah.
Your magnificent obsession is here. It's Jesus. Come on, lay it down. Lay it all down at his feet. He took 3 nails for you. Sacred blood dripping from the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are clean. You are clean. Squeaky clean. Clean. Come on, let's go in just a little deeper. Come on. This is why we're here. Go deeper. Come on. The angels are joining us. Oh, the angels of heaven are joining us. right there. Just hold it tight in your heart. Just hold that presence. Come on, learn to hold His presence. You're a vessel. You're a container. You're a dispenser. He's just filled you. Woo! Woo! Now just hold it. Because we're going to go deeper. I'm telling you, we're going to be gripped with visitation. Chariots of God are coming, says the Lord. The chariots of God are coming. Chariots of fire. To take my servants into my world. I came into your world. Now you come into mine. Come on. I'm telling you. We're about to break into a brand new apostolic day. Millions of new converts. Millions of testimonies of healings. Healings are going to become so common, we'll soon understand that that's one of the lowest levels of the anointing, is the healing. And we'll actually even understand that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as wonderful, valuable, and desirable as they are secondary to the presence of the glory. You want the gift? Or would you like the glory that releases it? Woo! Wow. My, my. Well, you guys are probably getting tired. I'm not. I'm just zonked up here. We're going to pray. My wife and I, I'm going to ask Philip and Pastor Glenn and anyone else that you would release to pray. And I'm telling you, this is what we're going to do. You were there, Philip, yesterday, Canada. I prayed for as many people that were in here, were in that meeting in Canada. There were, I think, 40 to 50 bona fide, verified healings that broke loose. So you won't need to tell me what you need healing for. I'll tell you. Is that okay? Just let the Holy Spirit show me. And we'll just see the healing fire come. Is that all right? Think God knows stuff? Think God knows your stuff? God knows your stuff. All I ask is that you make this commitment before God right now. Whenever Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, repent, let me wipe out that sin, obliterate it from your heart, and let me send times of refreshing and plant the seed of the image of Christ in its place, so that I can restore all things within you, that you will say yes to that process. Your glory visitation stops when your yes stops. There's no limit to what God will do. The earth has never seen what God will do with a man or with a woman that never says no to God. Never. He'll only say yes. So let's have yes practice. Everybody go ahead and say yes. He really likes that. It's better than Mufasa. Everybody say it again. Yes. Even if it's hard, what would you say?
Yes.
Even if it's your favorite sin, you have to let go of it, what would you say?
Yes.
Even if it means you have to restore a relationship or a friendship and go and be the one that initiates the healing.
Yes.
Even if it means staying hungry and he says, keep your fork, what will you say?
Yes.
All right. Let's pray. Lord, release your glory. Come on. Stay in the Spirit. Lord, we ask for greater visitation. We ask for greater visitation. We ask for the authentic book of Acts times 10 visitation of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would, Lord, that you would release here the dreams, the desires, the pleasure of your heart. Lord, that everything you've wanted to do in this very beautiful region of Greenwich, Connecticut, Lord, that you would pour it out right here in this fellowship, in this church, in this assembly. Release glory, more, release it. Come on, some of you are pulling it in. Some of you, it's on your face already. Some of you are going to begin to burn. Your hand is going to begin to burn. Your face is going to begin to burn. As you come near the everlasting burnings, you come near a consuming fire. More. Don't stop saying yes. Don't stop saying yes. If it's mysterious, if you don't know what it's all about, keep saying yes to God. He will not give you anything but what's right and good. Kisses from heaven are coming. Kisses of glory, feasts of glory are coming.